1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 to 21. The call of Elisha. Now this is a part of the ministry of Elijah. God has commissioned Elijah to do various things, to anoint Hazael, to anoint Jehu, and also to anoint Elisha. And God has told him in verse 16 of chapter 19 of 1 Kings, this Elisha will succeed you as a prophet, and Elisha will bring the judgment of God upon the people. And so Elijah moves on. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. And in these verses, 19 to 21, we have the calling, the anointing, the appointing of this man, Elisha. Now, let us be very, very clear here. I want to be absolutely explicit. This is unique. It's a historical event, and we can learn from history. But I'm not preaching this for us to copy today. This does not happen today. Now, some of you may disagree with that, but this is my utter conviction. This is unique. This is a transfer of power through the prophets. But there are practical lessons for us here, and there are principles for us to learn. But we must be very careful not to transfer this wholesale into our lives. Churches are very fond of that. They pick and mix. They look upon these things as a menu, and they move these things into pastors. I start talking about pastors in these terms. Not for me, not at all. What's the practical lesson here? God is in control. God has his purpose. God has his plan. God has his way. God has his decree. And he will use his men, appoint his men, as and when he will. Elijah was raised up. Your time is coming to an end, Elijah. Now the next man for me in this line is Elisha, and he must be appointed. You see, God has his own time. God has his own man. God has his own will and way. Now let us look at the calling of Elisha, the appointment of Elisha to this work. Now, as I say, I'm not a prophet. I'm not Elijah or Elisha, nor are you. What's the practical application here? Well, the nearest I can see to it is preaching the gospel. Now, preaching is much wider than a pulpit. But let us think about the pulpit work, the stated preaching of the gospel, that all believers are engaged as priests of Christ, priests of the new covenant, the priesthood of all believers, engaged in this ministry of preaching, in the widest possible sense, Christ. But the one thing we all need, brother and sister, is power. Power. That's the word that comes over in this account for me. This is what's going on as far as I can see. This is the view I'm taking. Power. The first point. The initiative is with God. It wasn't Elijah. He didn't say, oh, well, I think Elisha would be a good man. I've looked at his CV and he's the man for me. Not at all. It wasn't Israel. Fill in the form, make an application, and we'll look at it. No, it wasn't Israel doing it. It wasn't Elisha's parents. It wasn't Elisha himself. It wasn't some seminary giving a recommendation. It was God. And that's what we need today, my friend. Men raised up. Men and women too, in this wider sense of the ministry. But let us think about public preaching. We need men raised up of God. Don't we? We don't want just seminary men. Man-made men, church-made men, Christendom-made men. We want God-made men, God-given, God's initiative. You see, am I speaking against seminaries and all the rest of it? Well, I'm not speaking for them at the moment, am I? But the point is, whatever you think about a seminary, I've got things I think about them, but whatever you think about them, my friend, we need God-sent men, God-raised men. My servant is a phrase which is too glib and too easy today. This is the servant of the Lord, the Lord's servant. Well, we hope so. That's what Elisha was. That's what Elijah was before him. So, the initiative with God. That's what we need. God sent, God raised, God empowered men. And look at Elisha's background. Well, I'm not saying he wasn't bookish, but in this account here, he was not bookish. What was he doing? He was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. So he's out in the fields. Well, I've done a bit of gardening in my time, and you get calluses and corns on your hand, or rough patches of skin. You crack your nails, you get dirt under your nails. This man is a rough and ready, experienced man. He's been on the field. He's been ploughing. Amos was a market gardener. Peter was a fisherman. Matthew was a tax collector. Paul was a rabbi, but he was also a leather worker. You see, we need men like this. You see, it's so easy for today for a young man to go from school to college and back in the pulpit. And he's never been out in the real world at all. He's never done a real job. He's never been a barber, a hairdresser, a gardener, or anything else. He's just been in his books and seminary all the time. We want some men who have been at the chalk face and at the coal face. Who know what it is here. Elisha was a ploughboy. Now, perhaps he was the son of the master. I think he may well have been from what follows. But the truth is, he knew what it was to get his hands dirty, his back aching, and his legs aching. You can't plough behind horses or oxen or whatever the oxen here. You can't plough behind oxen and tread over fields in the sunny day or whenever it might be. You can't do that without feeling it. He is a man of the soil. That's his background. The initiative was with God, and he's a real man, and he's done a day's work, and he knows what he's done. And the people he's going to preach to, they're workers. This man knows it, and he's been there too. Greenham, the Puritan, used to follow the man after the service on the morning. He'd get up at 5 and have a 5 o'clock service anyway and preach, and then he'd follow the man across the fields and taking home the word of God to them as they were in the plough and on the corn or whatever it was doing. So, Elisha's a real man. And then the call. Well, Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Well, we're not told, but what does it mean? He threw his cloak around him. Elisha got the message, and he wanted to come, and he wanted to leave, except he said, let me go back and kiss my father and so on. But Elisha got the message. You're calling me. You're taking me on with you. And he saw something in the cloak. He didn't make a relic of it, but there was something symbolic in that cloak. And if you go to 2 Kings 2 verse 9, and 2 Kings 2 verse 13, when Elijah comes to be taken into glory, 2 Kings 2:9, 2 Kings 2:13, you will find this. Elijah says to Elisha, what do you want from me? I want a double portion of your spirit. I want your power. Well, says Elijah, that's what you want. And what did Elisha do when Elijah ascended? He picked up Elijah's coat, didn't he, his cloak, and he took it with him. It was a symbol of the power. He didn't make it a relic. He used it. I believe this is symbolic of the transfer of power. Paul talks about this, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. He said, when I come, I said, I don't want to preach with eloquent words and fine-turned phrases. No, I want the Spirit's demonstration and power. The demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And that is what we need today, my friend. That's the lesson I draw from here. I'm not talking about pastors and all the rest of it. What I'm talking about is power. A man can have his degrees. He can have his masters. He can be a doctor. He can have the title. He can have the name. He can have all the kudos in the world. He can have all the books from the banner or wherever else he wants. But has he got power? That's what we need today. He can have all the likes on Facebook. He can have all the likes on YouTube. What he needs, though, what I need, is power. May God, the initiative is with him. May he raise men with power. Men who are real men, men who are called and have the transfer of God's Spirit upon them. Called not in the churchy sense, but called in God's sense, raised up to be preachers of the gospel with power. Now, John Berridge wrote a hymn on the death of George Whitefield, and he based it upon the transfer of power between Elijah and Elisha. And I'm going to read it to you and close with it. I'm going to change just one word. John Berridge in the first verse talked about pastors, so I'm going to make that preachers. But this is what I've been trying to say. Send help, O Lord, we pray, and thine own gospel bless, for godly men decay, and faithful preachers cease. The righteous are removed home. Oh, send more laborers in their room. O Lord, stir up thy power to make the gospel spread, and thrust out preachers more through him to raise the dead. With feet to run where thou dost call, with faith to fight and conquer all. The flocks that long have dwelt around thy fruitful hill, and thy rich grace have felt, uphold and feed them still, but fresh folds build up everywhere, and plenteously thy truth declare. As one Elijah dies, true prophet of the Lord, let some Elisha rise to preach the gospel word. As fast as sheep to Jesus go, may lambs recruit his folds below. I say that in this episode in 1 Kings 19, 19-21, the calling of Elisha, we have the transfer of power, the initiative being with God, and Elisha being a real man, now has the power of, or will have the power of Elijah, and then we can see things done. And may God raise up preachers today, called of him, called and endued with the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Oh, may we see sinners saved in their thousands, and may we see the saints edified, all because of God's power, and God glorified in it all. Amen.